One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
This is Goop Yourself, the podcast where we talk about everything goop. I'm Brian Rucker.
I'm Aggie Hewitt.
I overdid it on lunch before we recorded today.
What happened?
Well, I had a really nice leftover chickpea salad that I made last night with sunflower seeds and some arugula. But then I had bought this, have you ever had the Trader Joe's goat cheese log that's encrusted in blueberries?
Yeah.
Holy shit. I'd never gotten it before. It's so fucking good.
It's like sweet dessert.
So I've been like having it for dessert because I got, you know, those social snackers and just like.
It's like a better version of an Oreo. Make a little sandwich.
It's so good. And it's like, It's just sweet enough. And, you know, you still get a little bit of that goaty sourness and the blueberries. Mm. So I had like a chunk of that with, I don't know, like 8 or 10 social snackers after lunch. And now, I don't know. I think I overdid it.
I mean, hey, you know, you have one life to live and that cheese log is not going to, I mean, like that's an experience that you deserve to have.
Especially because I still haven't started my sweet kick 2-week cleanse. It's like, I was going to start it this week and then I like wanted to have the dark chocolate peanut butter cups from Trader Joe's again. And so I really need to make a point and like, I'm going to start it on Monday, I'll say. And then really no more sweet goat cheese, no more peanut butter cups, no more anything.
Yeah. I mean, I've been just eating like, well, I mean, I'm not doing anything crazy or special, but I haven't been eating very many sweets. I gotta say, I've kind of been trying to keep it a little cleaner than I have been most of quarantine. Definitely walking back the booze a bit, walking back the treats, walking back the snacking, just trying to clean it up, trying to like feel more like less, like I can't like move and like lethargic and like sick all the time. Quarantine did a number on my body. Like I have just been totally like fucked up.
Yeah, it's been tough. I feel like I was really keeping myself together with like not drinking very much. I'm still like exercising a fair amount. But in the last month or two, I think I've just sort of gone off the deep end. I think because I knew the end was coming and then I just was like, okay, I'm not going to think about it. And because I'm on that new cholesterol and triglyceride lowering medicine. So I'm like, part of me is like, oh, I can just pop a pill and I can be healthy, which is not true.
I mean, I don't know. Isn't that what it's for? I guess you have to still also like eat healthy. I have also been incorporating low fat dairy in this like grotesque way because they always tell you to do it. Like I'm eating like a salad with eating like either like half the plate salad or half the plate vegetable, which is like what they tell you to do. Yeah. And having like a cup of low fat dairy milk or fat-free dairy milk, which is gross. But
just plain like non-fat milk?
No. Well, yeah, but I put it in coffee. So it's like a cafe au lait.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it makes a difference, but I really don't want to hear about it because I feel like someone is going to tell me that it doesn't help or it's bullshit or it's like the lies of the big ag or whatever, but maybe true. But I just like, I truly cannot hear anyone's diet advice. I'm sorry.
And if you feel good, like if it makes you feel better and you're, because I think my body can't process a lot of milk. So I wouldn't be able to do it. And I don't really like the taste either, but if you like it, why not?
I don't love it. I mean, I like it in coffee. Like I've always gotten like lattes and stuff, which I never think of as like milk.
Yeah. It's a lot of milk.
I would never drink like a glass of milk plain.
Absolutely not. Even when I was a kid, I couldn't stomach that.
Yeah. I mean, when I was a kid, I used to drink like milk with cookies sometimes.
Oh, sure.
But I never would like have it, like I would never drink milk like at dinner or anything. Like kids who drink milk with food, I never did that.
No. And nothing is more unattractive than an adult that drinks a glass of milk with a meal.
It's so wild. Adults who drink milk.
Yeah.
But yeah, like the cup of non-fat milk in the coffee every morning, it sometimes feels a little bit weird or hard to process, but it's like, it's either that or like a cup of fat-free Greek yogurt, which I find more challenging to get down. I would rather just drink it with coffee and like it's a latte than eat it.
And you think it just like helps fill you up without an excess of calories?
This is based on like some weird food pyramid thing I had where it's like have a cup of non-fat dairy every day. I don't know if it's true.
From like the 90s, like Jocelyn, is it Jocelyn Elders, the Surgeon General who told everyone to masturbate and then she got fired?
I have no idea what you're talking about, but probably.
It was, I swear to God, it was like Clinton's Surgeon General. It was, I think, some like safe sex campaign, and it was, you know, the 90s. So I think she said something like, you know, teenagers should be, I don't know if she said encouraged, but like, you know, masturbation is a form of safe sex. And I think, you know, everyone went insane and then he had to fire her.
They also did that they just did that with the pandemic where they were like,
oh, yeah,
the safest sex you can have is with yourself. Like don't have sex with other people, just stay home and masturbate, which I mean, I guess somebody had to say it.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. It's the safest sex.
Yeah.
And you know, the easiest, there's no, you know, issues of consent. You don't have to worry about that.
No. It's just you and the man in the mirror, and as long as you can live with yourself. Imagine,
I mean, I guess there's some people that masturbate looking into a mirror, but that's truly crazy.
That's like Patrick Bateman.
Yeah.
That's just what I call myself. I mean, God fucking damn it.
Every week, Aggie, every week goes off.
I'm sorry. It's like literally always, I'm going to put it on D&D. It's always a scam too.
Oh, yeah.
It's never anyone good or like anyone I want to talk to.
I mean, here, when's the last time you got a phone call that like you, that was good, that was even a real person?
I mean, I don't think I've ever gotten, I mean, years.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know. I feel like if I'm going to get a call, it's like scheduled and I know it's coming.
Exactly. Exactly. Cause that's the only time I would ever pick up is if, I knew that the call was coming at this specific time from a person I needed to talk to for some potential monetary gain.
Yeah, which like usually ends in like disappointment.
Absolutely.
Tomorrow's Passover. It's a big day for the Jews.
I know. I'm like, oh, I didn't plan it. I never know when Passover's happening because my family like doesn't practice it. And then it comes up and I'm just not going to do anything.
I mean, you still have time to go get a brisket and put it in the pressure cooker or the whatever it's called.
I do. I know McCall's meat, their butcher shop was advertising like briskets, but last time I went there, it was for Christmas and it took me, I had an appointment and it still was like an hour to wait in a line to buy a $60 duck that had maybe like a half a pound of meat on it after I cooked it. So I was like,
I don't think that you're going that it's gonna be quite the rush.
No, probably not.
Passover that you get for Christmas. It's not really the like banger that Christmas is.
Sure, sure. But that's exciting. You're gonna go to everyone in your family is vaccinated besides you. So you're pretty safe.
Except for me and I assume my young cousin who's
globe-trotting cousin.
In her 20s. Yeah. Yeah. But other than that, they're all vaccinated, so they'll be fine. And apparently so will I.
No, that'll be nice. I mean, seeing my family a couple weeks ago was really to use a Goop term, restorative. And
I've seen my family enough.
You see your family a lot, yeah.
And it's never been a restorative practice for me. But, you know, maybe this time will be different. Passover is my favorite holiday.
It's fantastic. And I was lucky enough to be invited to your house a couple years ago. And it was very memorable and
fun. We had a Seder. We had a big Seder with that was back when my mom was like really, really into like the DSA or whatever.
Oh, is she not anymore? Did she get blue-pilled by MSNBC?
I think that I don't think she's blue-pilled. I just think she's like less active because she like lost her, she didn't win re-election because she like ran for like something. She was like on some sort of board of like progressive people. That was like part of, and she was like with this group of people and then they like didn't win re-election. So she lost. So she's just kind of like, you know, a keyboard warrior. Yeah.
It's tough to stay engaged. I went to a Zoom DSA meeting last weekend and boy, was it long.
Oh yeah. And actually my mom was never like in the DSA, but she was like I think there were like people from the DSA, like in her like progressive whatever thing. But yeah, I don't know. Do you remember that video of like that DSA meeting that everybody watches where they like are all yelling at each other and it's like really chaotic and they like they can't get their shit together.
I think I saw clips of it. Yeah.
Yeah. I just like couldn't, I don't think I could ever like participate in something like that.
It's 'cause I think I need to, find smaller groups within the DSA where I can actually like do some sort of good rather than just going to these meetings that they're just talking about like bylaws and, you know, people are fighting about these little minute things. I understand that part of it is important too, but as someone who's like just sort of trying to get more involved in that stuff, I could see how it'd be like off-putting if your introduction to a political movement is with these like very bureaucratic meetings.
I mean, that's what it all is though,
I guess, but there's also like, you know, community activism and like going out and like, you know, either protesting or, you know, trying to get people to sign up to vote or whatever, like actions you can do within the community that are probably a little more feel a little more engaging and worthwhile in the moment.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that you can sure you can find a place to.
I have another one tomorrow, so hopefully I'll find some other thing to do.
Well, there's no shortage of protests you can attend.
No, yes. If people aren't aware, in LA, my city council member basically put up a concentration camp for homeless people living in Echo Park Lake the other night.
Yeah.
And a lot of people went out to protest, and good for them.
And then they got arrested, including journalists who were covering it.
Yeah. I stayed home and tweeted about it.
I was like, when are these people going to learn to like stop arresting journalists? Like, isn't that like the number one thing you like don't do if you don't want to be a fascist? Like, I don't understand how this is like still happening. And like, it was a thing. It felt to me like it started with like Trump. I don't think I'd ever heard of that happening in this country before then. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it was, and I'm just like not aware, but like, I mean, a journalist, seriously, like from like people from like the LA Times, like it's insane.
Yeah, yeah, I think it's, I mean, I'm sure it obviously happened before Trump, but I think it got more and more commonplace as, you know, the powers that be sort of declared war on the press
And they were like blocking them in. They were saying like, okay, you have to clear this area, but then like blocking the exits and then saying, well, because you didn't leave the area, you're under arrest. Like, it's so diabolical and disgusting. Like, how in the fuck could you, like, it's, how in the hell could they do that? And like, I don't know. I feel like everybody needs to get fired, and it's so insane.
Unfortunately, we'll probably have to wait till next year when this guy's up for re-election, but who knows? I think his, you know, his career after next year is probably toast, hopefully.
But what about like, because we also had this like new progressive like sheriff, or who's the, I mean, I voted for him, or like the DA or somebody. I'm like so
Gascon. Yeah, sorry, we're getting a little far from Goop, but
sorry, we're like getting like into the whatever
local politics. But yeah, no, I think he's better than Jackie Lacey. I don't know if he's, I mean, I don't know. Yeah, I don't know if he said anything about this. I haven't heard anything.
Because like, isn't he the DA, that's like the top cop or whatever, right? Like that's the,
yeah, I mean, they're not part of the police force, they're the district attorney, but yeah,
who,
there's this guy named Michael Moore who is the chief of police in LA, and he's you know, in cahoots with Mitch O'Farrell, so people are trying to get him to resign, but he's not going to.
Yeah, I feel like I don't know. I don't understand the police doing what they did. Anyway.
Anyway. Yeah. If you're in LA and you've been protesting, God bless you. If you're in LA and you're a fucking rich homeowner who wants to clear out homeless people, fuck you.
Yeah. Fuck you.
In other news, I actually read intuitive fasting.
Yeah, I saw that in your newsletter. I was like really kind of disappointed, right? I don't understand. Like, how did you get it? Why? If you check it out from the library, like that's still not good. I just want to say
I'm still supporting Big Cole.
Yeah.
I did check it out from the library. Not only did I check it out from the library, I think I was the one who like got the library to buy the ebook.
Oh my God. That's like the worst thing you can do.
Cause I mean, they probably were going to buy it anyway, but it was, you know, how you go on what is it called? Overdrive. And then it's like, oh, you know, if the book's not available, like recommend that so I checked that. And then it, you know, mysteriously popped up a couple weeks later.
Oh my God. Well, I'm sure a lot of people were demanding it. Like sure. It's a pretty in demand.
The new book from Goop Press.
I mean, who wouldn't want to read it? But I wonder how well it's.
It's probably not selling that well. And everyone who's listening, I'll save you the $15 or whatever. The whole thing is a 4-week program. There's no reason that this book needs to be like 200 pages long. It's just the first week you're supposed to, like if you're new to intermittent fasting or whatever, you're supposed to start with, you know, 12 hours on, 12 hours off. The second week, you're supposed to go up to between, I think 14 and 16 hours. And then the third week, you're supposed to get really intense and do 18 to 20 hour fast, cut out a lot of things. And then the fourth week, you're supposed to like start balancing it and go back to about like 14 hours. Meanwhile, of course, doing his ketotarian plan. And that's the whole thing. That's all it is.
I mean, I really don't feel like that. I mean, I feel like what's the intuitive part?
The intuitive is because he does these time windows. So it's like, he says, instead of like, you must do a 16 hour fast, he's like anywhere from, you know, 14 to 17 hours, like trust your body. So that's the intuitive part.
What's his point?
His point is to sell a new book.
But like, what does he say is going to happen?
She's actually pretty transparent about this being specifically for losing weight, which I was actually sort of surprised because I don't think he could spin it any differently. Like his like ketotarian is, you know, about, and he talks about inflammation and gut health and all this shit, but he is pretty explicit about like, hey, this will help you shed the pounds.
Okay.
It did inspire me to the problem is, so I am actually like very good at intermittent fasting. Like it makes, I like the feeling of going to bed, not super full. So I'm not really intense about it. I try not to eat between 7 p.m. and 10 a.m., which is like pretty moderate. And I've stuck with that for, I don't know, about 2 years now. The problem is I literally watch the clock and like cram as much food into my face as I can before 7 p.m. So I do not lose any weight by doing it.
Well, I've been doing like stopping eating at 8, but like if I'm not done with like what I had planned for like dinner or whatever, then like I'll finish it, you know, but yeah. Then I just like, once I'm done, like I'm done and I just like stop. And I try to eat dinner before 7, but usually it's like after 7, but just like as long as it's done by 8. And then like in the morning I have like absolutely no problem just like drinking some black coffee, like black cold brew, and just waiting until like, yeah, probably about the same, like probably about like 11. I'm more like 8 to 11, I guess, but it's probably similar to
yeah, that's you. About the same. Yeah. I'd like to get down to 11 a.m. I get really hungry before 11.
But and I stop eating. I also don't eat until like 8. So it's like,
it's yeah.
I'm stopping an hour later too. What if you just went to 8 until 8 and then started eating at 11? Could you do that?
I really have no, especially with my schedule now, like I have no problem always sort of finishing up dinner before 7. And I prefer actually, like I would love to, if my schedule allowed to like eat dinner before 6, but that is tough. But I think like body wise or like hunger wise, I could easily do that. It's just, if I wait, so like I'll usually eat breakfast at 10 and then I'm able to sort of get work started right after that. If I waited till 11, I would like be starting, you know, starting my day and then breaking it up with eating breakfast, which is like, I don't know, it would take too much time, I feel like.
Yeah. I also feel like in the mornings I eat like little bits of stuff, like kind of all morning, like from like 11 until like 2, and then yeah. I have like lunch at 2. Like I don't eat like a real food until like 2. And then, but I'm like snack. I'm eating like little like bars and whatever, maybe a bowl of cereal. And then like,
yeah. I usually eat lunch like between 1:30 and 2, except on Fridays when we record, and so I eat lunch a little earlier. Unless I don't eat lunch at all, and then I'm starving by the time we finish the podcast.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, yeah. So I guess we both do intermittent fasting already. Yeah. So we really don't need Will Cole to tell us what to do.
No, absolutely not. And like the only thing he really adds to intermittent fasting is the ketotarian stuff, which is, I mean, the amount of money for groceries and the effort for cooking it takes to be ketotarian is, or like, and all of his, and he also talks, he weirdly talks a lot about like, make sure you're not, you know, you're full and you're eating enough calories. But then like the second half of his book are all these recipes for meals and they all have like 300 to 400 calories in them.
Mm.
So his like sustainable, you know, filling meal plans all are like between 1400 and 1600 calories a day, which I think maybe would work for like a very tiny person, but for like a normal size. I mean, Will Cole is like a little pixie, so maybe it works for him. Well, but
are the recipes like, what's an example of like a kind of recipe? Like, do you remember anything?
They're just like boring. They're like everything from smoothies to soups to he'll do entrees that are, you know, it's like salmon poached in like coconut milk with like a ton of seeds on it or something.
Yeah.
They're just all that's like ketotarian so cool. recipes.
Right. Salmon poached in coconut milk actually sounds pretty good.
It does sound good.
Maybe I'll make that.
There's actually in the new Bon Appetit, there's a really good recipe that for it's like a Bengali recipe that is cod or like halibut poached in coconut milk and mustard. I really want to make it.
That's so good. I canceled my subscription to Bon Appetit a long time ago just because I was getting too many magazines, but I've really transferred like all of my Bon Appetit just to the individual people's Instagram, and none of them work there anymore, but like, that's it. That's what I do instead of Bon Appetit.
Yeah. Rick Martinez is my favorite out of all of the ex Bon Appetit people. And now, cause he's like living in Mazatlan, and like all of his videos are just like so aspirational.
Yeah. It's like real. And his recipes always looked really good, but I mean, I guess they all did, but I always thought that his looked great.
And Priya just got hired full-time at the New York Times.
I know.
And I use her cookbook, her Indian-ish cookbook. I use all the time. It's really good.
Yeah. I haven't like really cooked anything in a long time. I feel like I'm trying to like transition. This is something that you would absolutely hate, but like, I'm trying to kind of like get over food as like a thing that I love or like care about that much, and just be more like, eat to live.
I know.
It's like, I understand how that's like kind of depressing because you're like closing the door on all these things, but I find it really, really, really challenging to like really put effort into a recipe and also like have it be something that I feel good after I ate, even if it's like a healthy recipe. Like, I feel like there's always a lot of extra fat and like a lot of in like every like good recipe.
No, I understand. And I think I agree with you on like a theoretical level. I just know for me personally, food and cooking gives me so much pleasure that I probably wouldn't be able to do that. And also I feel like whatever health benefits I would receive, it would be offset by like my mental health.
Oh yeah. It wouldn't be worth it at all. I mean, you seem like very well adjusted and very happy, and like, you're like, I don't feel like anybody else should necessarily do that. It's just like, for me personally, like I'm not doing like a whole 30 or like like cutting food groups or anything. I'm just like, all of my meals for the last like couple of months have just been like extremely like simple.
Yeah.
And it's just like chilled me out about food.
I think that's good. No, I feel like I would like to do that. Maybe try to be like breakfast and lunch. I have like how people say they have a fashion uniform. Yeah. I have like a breakfast and lunch uniform, and then make dinner like a special thing. But like, if I could always have breakfast and lunch be like very healthy and simple, I think that might be helpful.
Just like a couple meals like that.
Yeah. I tried to like at the beginning of quarantine, I tried to always like do like meal prep for lunch and have like grain bowls every day. And then I just, it just went away from me.
Yeah. I mean, we've all been on like a humongous and deranged journey of eating with the quarantine. I know some people that have like infuriatingly like started like doing like really long planks during quarantine or like just gotten like really healthy, and I'm not one of those people. Like I just really fucked up. Like I ended up ordering food so much and also getting like cases of wine delivered to my house. Puzzling. And so like I'm not even worried about like my weight necessarily. I'm like genuinely started getting concerned about my health, where I was like, what am I doing? Like, this is, I can't do this.
Yeah.
Like, no, totally. I won't live as long as I want to if I keep
and it. Yeah, you'll start to feel it. I've been pretty good about, I've been like drinking most nights, but like, you know, stopping myself usually after one, but these past few weeks I've been having like mostly two, either a cocktail and a glass of wine or two glasses of wine, which I should start cutting down a little bit more. I don't know.
I mean, I've been doing like maybe one or two like a week, and then maybe
that's great.
Like nothing. I know. Like I've had to like pour out bottles of wine that have gone bad, which has never had that happen. Yeah. Like, so
what do you just have water the other nights, or do you make like a fun non-alcoholic beverage to drink?
I just have water, like LaCroix.
Yeah.
And sometimes like I'll take an edible or something, but not every night. And I also got a new medication called Trizodone, which is supposed to help you sleep and like chill you out at night. But I don't think you would like it. It's not that good. It's like a minor. Oh, and it's like really bad to mix that one. It's not really bad, but you're not supposed to mix it with alcohol. It honestly, it's like not as intense as the ZQL is, but it just makes you like really drowsy.
Yeah.
But it won't make you go to sleep.
Oh, yeah. Any Gwyneth news?
I thought there was some, but now I can't think of what it was. I mean, I know that she popped up.
Yeah, there's one thing that I actually have as my on my list, so I wanted to save it. But yeah, other than that, the only thing, I mean, this is very tangentially related, but Orlando Bloom, did you read this? Did a big...
Yeah, I had it read to me and I was like, this was my exact... I was like, I've been reading Goop every single week for the last 5 years. Like, I'm not gonna... Orlando Bloom's shit does not sound even weird to me at all.
Not at all. That's what was so crazy. It was like, I sort of don't understand why this became a big deal at all, because... So he had an interview with the Sunday Times in London, and it sort of got picked up, especially by like the New York Post and other sort of like tabloidy newspapers in the United States, talking about his, you know, complete out of touch Hollywood lifestyle or whatever. And it was literally just like I swear to God, like a normal morning routine that would, yeah, you wouldn't even think twice about it if you read Goop.
No, not even. I mean, he drinks like a green juice and then goes for a hike and then has like oatmeal with like hemp hearts or something. Like there's nothing crazy.
No, it's, yeah, he like meditates, he goes for a hike, he has a grit juice, and then his job is like he has this production company where he basically probably doesn't do anything because these actors that have production companies like don't do anything.
I mean, but, yeah, when he's like, so I just like sit and dream about like giving like roles to like marginalized people, yeah, and then I like meditate or whatever. It's like, wait, you dream about it or you
do it. Yeah, that is really funny. He's like, I dream about giving roles to women and minorities.
Like, just wait, like sits and like thinks about it. Like,
but literally, we know that these actors that have production companies, like that is literally what they do.
There's a lot of dream. There are a lot of dreams happening there. Yeah. I don't know.
But the one sort of like, I guess, criticism that I do think is a little bit relevant was, I mean, this New York Post lady is a total like conservative nightmare. She just like rails against Harry and Meghan every week. Well, she did say like, oh, it is funny that you literally have a newborn and you have to like, and you're like waking up bright and early, like, and bushy tailed every morning, getting a full night of sleep. So that is sort of, you know, there's a piece of the puzzle that's missing there.
Yeah, which is absolutely true. And like, I think that the piece is like,
you have a night nanny.
A nanny. Yeah, it's like someone like, hey, yeah. It's
Katy Perry's like, not up all night breastfeeding.
Well, I think that the other piece is like a woman that gave birth to the child, right? I mean, like, I feel like, right?
What you think that Katy is up all night with the baby, or you think a nanny is?
I don't know who his... I don't know who the mother of his child is.
Katy Perry. But
if he has a newborn child, yes, I do think that the mother is tending to her child.
Well, we should ask her.
I mean, I don't think that, like, you think she's just like too like selfish to breastfeed her child.
No, I'm not. It has nothing to do with selfish. I think, I'm not saying that she either does or doesn't breastfeed. I'm saying in the middle of the night are the parents the one, you know, the ones that are getting up in the middle of the night for the baby, or is there help?
Like a wet nurse?
Well, not necessarily, like a night nanny.
They probably do have a nanny, but I think that they probably, I think that it's probably both of them. Like is it literally a newborn baby?
I think less than a year old. Yeah. Didn't she just gave birth pretty recently.
Yeah. But I would never expect the father to participate in that anyway. It's like, it's always the mother doing that.
Oh, I mean, I think in a lot of couples, they try to be as 50-50 like as possible. Turns. Yeah, yeah. I know, like, my sister and my brother-in-law, they switch off every night. I mean, now, yeah, it's a little different, but
yeah, I shouldn't say that. I guess like some couples do like take turns. I feel like mothers do a lot, but
yeah,
right. It's probably a nanny, but I also feel like it's, I feel like it's probably both, but yeah, it's definitely totally not him.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, he's very upfront about it definitely not being him.
Yeah.
Which, and again, it's like, there's so many problems with like the elites and the rich people in this world, but like, I guess I sort of don't have a problem. If you have the resources and you pay people well to like get a good night, it's, if I was rich and I had a kid, that would be the first thing I would spend money on, because I like not sleeping through the night is such a nightmare. So I completely understand that, honestly, if you have the resources.
My phone just rang even though it's on fucking airplane mode. I don't understand what is happening. I think somebody just called me enough times that it went through anyway.
It broke through the airplane mode.
I guess. I don't know.
It persisted.
That's right.
Other than that, yeah, the only other GP thing I have is on my list. So should we move on to that?
Yeah, unfortunately, my list is like predominated by one thing.
Oh, what is it?
It's like, it was hard for me to walk away from it. It was hard for me to break away from any of the information about Alyssa Goodman. I mean, I couldn't stop thinking about her.
Oh, is she the, my age is 60?
Yeah, she is.
So is this your best, worst, craziest? All of the above?
I mean, it was like all of the above. Like I went back through and I was like, I have to add other things, but I was like, it's my best. It's my craziest is like her face and her body. Like, how is she 60? She looks better than me. She looks younger than me.
I mean, these women that say hi, my ages, it's like one after the other. It's unbelievable how good they look, but this she
shocked me. Like, yeah. I mean, a lot of them look very good and I'm like, oh, that's like a very nice looking person who is their age but looks like the ideal version of their age, like a few years younger, like very like they're happy, they're healthy, and but usually if they tell you my age is whatever, you're like, okay, you look young, you look great for your age, but I'm not like, no, that's impossible. Like when that woman was, I am 60, I converted. I was like, I am going to buy her program. It was like my thing I would buy. It was my thing I would try, her coconut yogurt. It was everything to me. And so I had to like go back through and like change it. But I couldn't believe it. This woman looked 35.
Well, yes, but there is makeup. There is probably some Photoshop. We don't know because we're looking at this in, you know, one photograph. So I wouldn't necessarily take everything that you see at face value.
I'm not, but I think that even, cause I looked very closely and like, I did, like, I was like intentionally looking, I was like, where are the things that don't look like a young person's body? And I found some, I saw things when I really scrutinized it, but even if it's Photoshopped, makeup cannot make you look 30 years younger. Like, unless it's like full like prosthetics or something, which I don't think she had. Like this woman, like I was like, that was a good looking woman.
Yeah. Oh my God. And what she's been through too.
Oh yeah.
I mean, this is this is a woman who, she got diagnosed with cancer while she was in her early 30s. And then her husband died of cancer a few years later. And then, I mean, she got better and started the soup cleanse, SOUP, an acronym.
Yeah.
The rest and is it history. Is soup. Yeah. It is both an acronym and, the
and cleanse. It's, yeah. It's just a bunch of soups, which I mean, I'm usually really skeptical of these things, but I'm like $395 for 5 days of soup. Okay, honey, if that's what you say, because you look fucking amazing, like I will buy your soup. Not right now, but eventually.
But yeah, did you get your stimulus yet?
No, I don't think I'm gonna get it.
Oh, you're too rich all of a sudden for your stimulus?
No, too stupid because I forgot to pay my taxes.
Oh no.
We got the, I got the extension and then it was like extended to October. Like it was like extended really late. And then once it rolled around, it just like was out of my mind and I totally forgot about it. So then I didn't get the stimulus at the end.
Oh. we got ours and I really am gonna buy a vintner's daughter and a new pair of Birkenstocks and then use the rest for like rent or bills or whatever.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna like try to like contact like H&R Block or something and just be like, I messed up. Can you help me?
If you do pay your taxes from last year, you'll get it, right? Or no? I think so.
Yeah, but now it's like, do I even know where my like 10 whatever the hells I have are?
That'll be a nightmare.
Because it was like a year ago. Oh my God, it's such a disaster. Maybe they still have them. That's possible too. My old boss might have another copy.
Yeah.
To go crawling back and beg for it.
I mean, did you get it over email? Like, do you still have the email?
No, they mailed it to me.
Oh, man. Rough. Well, I guess you won't be buying that $395 soup anytime soon.
Only if I find a way to get my goddamn money from the government, which I've never haven't been able to do yet. Anyway, so this is like a really important, this is like, I'm going to be thinking about her the way I was like so moved and became obsessed with that like Jennifer Lopez piece in that W magazine that was like in like 2010 or something about all of her fillers and like how important it is to like get like Botox and have like also have like a really good skin routine. This is like my new obsession. Like this woman, she's like my new, she's like Jennifer Lopez to me. Cause it's great. She's also looks way, she doesn't look as good as Jennifer Lopez. Nobody does, but she looks like Jennifer Lopez. She looks way younger than she is.
Yeah. I mean, Jennifer Lopez looks extremely young, but then she's also just like beautiful. This woman's very attractive, but she's not, yeah, she's not in the, I mean, no one is in the Jennifer, I mean, Lopez.
Jennifer
category.
Lopez.
Yeah.
We don't need to compare this. No. I mean, normal-ish person, a little bit better normal.
She does provide a recipe for her coconut yogurt kefir.
I know. That was my thing. I have so many things that I would like, I want to do all her stuff.
Wait, so the coconut yogurt, she's basically making her own yogurt because she's just taking coconut milk and crushing up a probiotic capsule into it?
I guess. But then that doesn't look like, it's like, can I buy, do I have to make it? You know what I mean, Alyssa? Like, but if Alyssa says make it, then I'm going to do it because like she knows what to do.
She'd make $1 million if she made it herself and sold it. But put
does
it on the
she,
yogurt
is this
aisle.
Part of the soup diet? Let me see.
I'm
morning
not sure.
One. Let's see. You get Alyssa's detox tonic, a super seed bar with goji berries. Is that how you say it?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all you get every single morning for breakfast, which is fine. Yeah. There's no yogurt. There's no coconut yogurt on this.
So maybe this is for the non-cleansing days.
Yeah. I mean, I just want to do this for, it's only 5 days. Like I could do that.
She does say she's completely off sugar. She doesn't crave it ever.
I do feel like the less you eat, the less you crave it.
It's true.
But then,
oh man, and she, because she relates it to her husband who died of cancer, that like is psychologically so damaging because she's like, my husband was a sugar addict and had to have dessert after every meal. And then he died.
So she in her mind, they're connected.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's sad and upsetting, but that doesn't make me want to do the diet any less.
No. And she does say she's honest about still struggling with like orthorexia and like,
which like, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. I mean,
but it's good that she's upfront about it at least. Cause it's really, that's one thing I hate in these, like, hi, my name is whatever. And I'm 70 and I look like I'm 12. Like they're always like, I don't think about it. Like, this is just me. Like I eat whatever I want. Like I have this super open diet and I can have anything and I just eat what I crave. And then they're eating like exactly this, or they're eating like a handful of nuts and like some broth and then just like exercising for 12 hours. And that's all they do. It's like, you're not. Or they're like, yeah, like no restrictions. It's like, there are restrictions here.
Yeah, there's very, very many restrictions.
Yeah.
Well, what a presence, what a life she's lived. What a businesswoman. It's probably a scam, but hey, it works for her.
And she's also engaged. And I wonder how old her fiance is, because I wonder if he's like 30.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay. So what about you?
Okay. So my best was Gwyneth Paltrow's delightful interview on the Kelly Clarkson show.
Oh, okay. So I didn't even know Kelly Clarkson had a show. I'm out of the loop about it.
She is slowly but surely becoming the new Ellen. Because Ellen lost like half of her viewers over the past year.
Yeah, I know.
And so I think Kelly is like taking, I don't know if she like took her time slot or whatever, but like she is, she's there, ready to pounce, and she's getting the A-list guests and Ellen is not.
You know, I was thinking about it, watching the Meghan and Harry interview, and it's something I think about a lot and I get really sort of anxious about, which is like, who will be the next Oprah? Like, there will never be another Oprah. But
no, because like, there's not a monoculture. Like, there's never going to be a talk show host as central to the culture as Oprah was. I just don't think that's ever going to happen.
I don't think so either. But like, I still will want someone who's like, who feels like they have like real like power and like a true presence and like a real sense of like authority, which is Oprah to me, to be able to like do these. She's like the Oprah has like become like what Barbara Walters was in the 90s. Like, cause I loved the Barbara Walters like Oscar specials. And like, yeah. I feel like this interview would have like gone to Barbara Walters if it happened 30 years ago. Like, now it's Oprah. Like, who's going to be interviewing like Archie or whatever? You know what I mean?
Yeah. There's not really that combination of like investigative journalist and like pop star doesn't like, really exist anymore.
Well, because it's like a woman's journalist. Yeah, like Barbara Walters in her memoir was like, she always had like the woman's stories. And like, I feel like that's like Oprah kind of does that too, which is, I mean,
yeah.
It's like, we don't think about things like that anymore, but that's kind of what it still is like culturally. Like,
but yeah, like the sort of highbrow celebrity interviewer. The only man I could think that sort of occupied that position was Charlie Rose a little bit, but it was different.
I mean, I feel like if a man is doing it, there's like always kind of people take it like a little bit more seriously, but also there was never like that I can remember like a Charlie Rose special, but like there are like these like Oprah does now and Barbara used to do like these like special events where like Oprah sits down with like obviously this big interview, but she does this like a lot of people sit down with Oprah for a big interview that they have to reveal something or whatever.
Yeah. And I whoever that person is or will be, I don't think that's Kelly Clarkson. I think Kelly Clarkson is very much daytime light.
But that's what Oprah was, and then she
it's true. She evolved. Pivoted. Yeah. So possibly Kelly has such a bubbly personality, and what I liked about this is she does actually ask some insightful questions, but she doesn't come off as an intellectual. Like I'd never really seen a full segment of the Kelly Clarkson show before, but she's sort of disarming in how she can pivot from a very sort of silly question to something, especially because I've seen a million interviews with Gwyneth Paltrow, like some questions that I'd never quite heard before and that were interesting to listen to.
Like what?
Well, so like the thing that sort of became viral was, I guess Kelly asks all of her guests, like, what's a song that, you know, helps you get through the day or whatever. And immediately, just totally deadpan, Gwyneth answers "Wet Ass Pussy." And
oh yeah.
Kelly loses it. She just starts cracking up. And it was just like a very sort of funny moment. Cause I mean, Gwyneth knew exactly what she was doing. She didn't say WAP. She said the full word, and it's on daytime TV. And it was just completely sort of unexpected coming from her, I guess.
Yeah. Except for, I feel like I would expect her to say something.
Yeah.
Like that.
But you and I would expect her to say that, but like the average time
with her every week we think about her and just meditate on her.
But there were other questions. I think also because Kelly Clarkson is in the middle of going through like a pretty intense divorce right now.
Oh no.
And so they talked about marriage and divorce. This is the question I'm specifically thinking of that I was like, wow. Kelly asks, was it hard to be vulnerable enough to fall in love again after your divorce? And I was like, oh, well, that's a really deep question to ask at like 10 o'clock in the morning on ABC or whatever.
Yeah.
And Gwyneth has talked about this before, that Brad is a very sort of openly emotional person, and Gwyneth historically was not. So she had to sort of open herself up in a different way than she had with her previous relationships. Then let's see. Oh, she also, I mean, this might've just been a little flattery, but Kelly Clarkson talked about how much she loves Gwyneth's singing voice and wants her to do an album. Which I'm like, do you really? But
I mean, I would love it.
I would love it, but I don't think it would. I mean, that would be a true, like, people already give Gwyneth a hard time, but like an actor doing an album is like prime example of sort of like vanity project.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, Gwyneth's entire career for the last like 15 years has been a giant vanity project that ended up okay. So,
but Gwyneth politely declines and says, "No, I won't do it." But she said she'd rather, or she always thinks of herself more as a backup singer than a lead vocalist.
That's not true.
No. Then Kelly asks, did you ever believe that contagion would happen in our lifetimes?
Oh my God. That's such a fun question to ask.
Yeah. And, you know, Gwyneth is like, oh no, you know, when, you know, we were on the movie, the writer had researched it and was, you know, telling everyone like, oh, this is definitely going to happen. And like, no one believed him, but then it did.
It was a very, like, it was shockingly accurate. Like when we watched it, there were so many things, like they talked about like social distancing and like just all these things that I had never heard before, but they were, I guess they always had them in.
Yeah. Like specific terms that were not in the popular lexicon I guess amongst like healthcare professionals, people knew what that was, but yeah, we didn't.
Yeah.
And then of course, in the last like third of the interview, they have to pivot to Goop and her products like they always do.
Yeah, which is always the most boring part of anything with her, because it's like so uninteresting.
She talks about she's the global ambassador for Xeomin, that like Botox alternative.
I wish I could get a straight answer from her on that stuff.
She always seems like unenthusiastic when she talks about this. Definitely seems like a paycheck for her. Like because I guess it's not like a Goop product, so I never feel like there's a lot of passion behind it.
I know, but it's like, I just want to know, like, Gwyneth Paltrow, like, will she advocate for a product that she wouldn't use herself? Like, has she ever gotten a Xeomin injection?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think she has. Like, she went through the whole process. Like she said, cause Kelly, I guess, thought that it was like an injection that you do yourself.
Oh God.
And Gwyneth was like, no, you have to go to a doctor. I mean, I think it's the exact same process as Botox. It's just like another product.
Why is it better?
Because it's, I don't know, it's like cleaner. It's not made from botulism. It's like somehow like cleaner. I have no idea.
That doesn't sound very good.
No.
I feel like it needs to be like essentially poison.
Sure.
For it to work.
But yeah, it was like a, you know, 10, 15 minute interview. I've always loved Kelly Clarkson.
Me too.
I love her voice. Sometimes I'll catch her little, you know, clips because she does like a different song every day on the show, but I've never really watched a full.
I said, that's nice.
Yeah.
It's a new twist.
It makes sense. Like it's because instead of having, who was it, like John McDee in the DLT from Rosie O'Donnell?
I do not know.
Remember how on Rosie O'Donnell's show, they'd be like, and it's John McDee in the DLT. And it was like this gay band leader.
I like barely watched the Rosie O'Donnell show.
But Kelly is basically her own band leader, which makes
that's
sense for
interesting.
Her.
But I think that's cool. And I mean, I love her as a singer.
Oh yeah. Best I think, or most versatile, at least, voice of, like, pop voice of the generation. I feel like she sort of can do any type of music.
Mm, wow. She won, right? Yeah.
Yeah,
she
yeah, won. She's the very first winner.
First winner. Good for her.
But I'm happy for her. This seems like a good fit to do a daytime talk show. And I think we need some new blood in the morning. She's definitely more naturally inclined at this than, let's say, Drew Barrymore, who also has a new talk show.
Oh, yeah. See, it doesn't seem like a good fit for Drew. Is too much of like a free spirit. Like, you can't peg her down and make her like show up on set every day. And you want like a little bit of authority from your, you know, TV daytime talk show host.
You want authority. And then you also, I think, want the talk show host to be a little bit of an outsider, because they're sort of the point of view character for the audience at home watching these crazy Hollywood people.
Yeah.
And I think that's what made Rosie O'Donnell so successful, because she always felt more like a fan than like a peer.
And yeah, Rosie O'Donnell Drew Barrymore is like way too inside. Like, she's the most Hollywood person like in the world.
Exactly.
Into it.
But Kelly, because she's from Texas and she sort of got into the business in like a different sort of way, I feel like she still feels like a regular person in the way that Drew Barrymore definitely does not.
Never could. Kelly Clarkson had to like go win like a contest basically to be famous. Drew Barrymore was like born to be a star, and that's what she became.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
What was your worst?
So my worst, let's see. Oh, my worst was the Lorax body sphere.
Ugh, this woman.
Which is like, so when you go and like take a class, and I'm just saying this for people who haven't taken a class, I'm sure most of us have, like when you go and take like a bar class or like, I don't know, probably sometimes like Pilates or something, they have these like balls. They're like little bouncy rubber balls. And then you can buy them for yourself, like at like Target or like whatever. And they're good. You kind of use them as like a thigh master or whatever sometimes. Like, we would always like put them behind our leg and like squeeze up and whatever. They're little balls. This woman is selling them on Goop. Instead of calling it a ball, she's calling it a sphere, which is infuriating.
It's literally thesaurus.com.
It's so annoying. And then she's selling it for $23 when you could buy it literally anywhere else for $10. It's really annoying. I mean, I guess it's not that much of a markup. It's only a little more than twice what it costs anywhere else, which is like not that bad for Goop. But I still find the just like that you would call a ball a sphere and then charge double for it is like it's just like, that is such a gross thing and annoying and cynical thing to do. It makes me mad. So that's my worst.
I mean, I've not been a fan of her for years now, because this is Lauren Roxborough. She did the foam rollers and now she's pivoted to the sphere.
The foam rollers are also like real, which I always tell you whenever we talk about the foam rollers, those are also real things that like my old,
I did
physical therapy for my knee. They had them, and like some of my friends who've like really been like hardcore workout people have like had them in their house, and like it actually like really hurts if you do it right, because it like is like, I don't know what the hell is happening when you do it. But this isn't like something she invented, and neither is, I'm sorry, a ball. Like, these aren't, what the hell is this? She's just selling like regular workout stuff that you can get anywhere, but putting her name on it and charging like three times as much or two times as much. It's really weird.
And she
is a weird business.
Well, and it's entirely, there's some sort of insider thing with Goop, because she's been on the site for years. She has no sort of brand presence outside of Goop. The first book that Goop Press published was hers. So I don't know if she's an old friend of Gwyneth's from Spence or she was friends with Tracy Anderson. There's some connection here. And
you seem like someone who would have been friends with like Elise.
That's the thing too. It's like, I don't want to be mean, but like, she doesn't have that star quality that like the truly A-list Goop people have.
No.
She is more of like an Elise.
Definitely more of an Elise.
But I could also see her be just sort of like that Upper East Side you know, she was like the beta to Gwyneth's alpha in high school, even though I'm totally making up that they knew each other in high school. But it just seems like that could
You've be always had this theory though. Went to high school together and then like Gwyneth feels sorry for her, so she yes. be on the website, which is like not impossible at all.
Oh, how are you doing, Lauren? Oh, you have these spheres? Oh, cool. Yeah, we'll sell them.
Yeah, we'll put them on the website.
We'll put them on the website? That'll be great.
Yeah, everybody needs a sphere.
I also took her entire class at the last InGoop Health Summit, and it was so dumb. It was like a yoga class, except for 5 minutes, you like dance around, and then for 5 more minutes, you like do pelvic tilts on the sphere.
Hmm.
I don't know. Oh, no. Beverly Cleary just died at 104.
Oh, my God. Everybody's dying this week.
I am literally only sad usually at like 1% of celebrity deaths. Mm. But I have to say the Jessica Walter really, even though she was like 80, but like I love her so much.
I actually thought I was very sad too. And I think 80 is like actually kind of young.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Young, but it's like a lot of people live past 80. Like I wish that she could have lived longer.
I
know.
Cause she was so, I mean, she was working up until the end. Like she seemed just so vibrant and like she sort of, you know, became the biggest star as an older woman. And she was just made any project she did better.
She's so, so, so funny. I mean, like she was like perfect.
Great. I mean, one of the just great comic timing.
And it's like, it's so rare that like someone is just like a truly good, like comedic actor on TV. It's like, when do you ever see that? It was, it's really sad. And, I guess I just like, didn't think that she was, I don't think I realized she was 80. And I also feel like 80, like I said, is too young to die.
And Beverly Cleary is 104. So God bless her. But she was the first books I remember being really into were Beverly Cleary books.
Yeah. I mean, like how old isn't Joe Biden like 80?
Yeah. Joe Biden is, I think like 79.
Yeah.
And oh man, if you watched his press conference the other day, let's just say Jessica Walter and Beverly Cleary still seem a little more with it than
I mean, Jessica Walter. Yeah, like I can't watch his I can't watch him. I mean, I voted for him and I'm really glad he won and I hate Donald Trump and et cetera, but I can't do it.
His Botox is getting out of control.
Well,
it's like he has like the smooth, like his face looks like a baby's bottom. It's too much.
Well, doing his best, I guess. Oh,
yeah, I guess. Okay, my worst. The essential oil and diffuser article. Did you read this?
I did.
It was just like such a long article. Like it shouldn't have been an article. It should have just been like, here are some diffusers and here are some essential oils, but they had to make this thing of like, here's the one, the recipe to use in the morning, here's the one to use in the evening, here's the like spiritual practice. And it's like, what? I'm just gonna, is there another hour of the day in my life that I can like have an essential oil practice? Like this is, it's too much.
Well, they're making up this bullshit schedule that no one would have and telling you what you have to like, what essential oil you have to use for each. I mean, I get it. This to me feels like a very like old magazine thing where they like kind of make up these like lifestyle rules that don't exist to like sell you products and to kind of help shape your life and to like also give you ideas of like fun things to do. Yeah. But like, I agree. It was like too long and it was, sometimes it can just be a bit of a stretch. Like to me, this just felt sort of far out there. Like I'm going to match my like wake up time and like my spiritual whatever time, I don't know what that is, but like I'm supposed to match all these stuff with these things that you're telling me to do with like a diffuser scent that I'm supposed to use. Like that's just totally ridiculous. And like, can't I have some control over any aspect of my life? Like must I follow these rules down to what I'm smelling by the hour of the day. You already, these people already have me putting like 15 things on my fucking face every goddamn day. Okay. As I said, I'm drinking skim milk from a cow. I'm fucking eating a half a plate of lettuce every meal. And now, in addition to that, I can't even smell. I have to smell something else. Like, I have to smell certain things. Like, I follow so many fucking rules.
This was a step too far. And like, not only do you need a different combination of essential oils for every meal, I don't know, you don't call it a meal, every breath, you have to use like a different diffuser.
It's enough.
It's too much.
I can't.
It was funny that, oh, and our friend Nicholas pointed out on Instagram that one of the ladies in the wind down, the evening diffuser, it says, also of note, these make great gifts. More than one Goop editor has been known to keep a stockpile for birthdays, holidays, anniversaries. And it's like, you just have a closet full of these $100 diffusers.
They're trying to encourage you to like buy 12 of them and keep them like greeting cards in your like closet.
I mean, I do have to say this is a phenomenal gift. I like, especially for like, I don't know, like a, I mean, like a wedding gift, but also like a sympathy gift. I feel like instead of like sending someone a candle, like a diffuser would be like a great gift if like, you know, someone's like grandmother dies or something.
Yeah. Or even if you just like any other reason.
Yeah.
It just because.
But I threw away my diffuser. I never used it. And then I learned that like all the oils are basically toxic for cats. So I don't think,
you know, what happened to me? It's not really that bad, but my friends were moving and they had like a huge pile of like old Criterion DVDs from like 2002 and also a diffuser. And I like went through and I picked like all the movies that I wanted out of their big pile. And also they were like, you need to take this diffuser. You're going to love it. They put it in a bag. And then all the reject DVDs went in a different bag. And when I left their house, I took the wrong bag and I got all the bad DVDs that I didn't want. And no diffuser. So I should rightfully have one, but I don't.
You should. But I have to say, and I mean, maybe if you're probably either a diffuser person or you're not. I think I learned also the diffuser I had was like some like $20 one I got on Amazon. It made a lot of noise and like you could only smell it when you were like right up close to it. I just didn't think it was worth it.
Oh yeah. Like I want my diffuser to really crank out to have a lot of throw, as the cancer bloggers say.
And then I just got paranoid because on all these like cat blogs, they're like, never use essential oils, like it'll murder your cats. And so then I just threw it away.
Oh, I wonder if it's, sometimes I like to put essential oils like in the shower.
Yeah,
just like on the floor of the shower.
I think dogs are less sensitive than cats. I don't think it's bad for dogs.
I mean, I've never heard that it was, but you never know. I'm constantly shocked at the things that are bad for dogs. I had no idea about the grape thing until like...
That's an old wives' tale. My dog used to eat grapes all the time and he was fine.
I feel like mine did too. I feel like I know like a lot of dogs who used to eat like frozen grapes.
Yeah. It was like a treat. Like a chocolate is really bad for dogs. I remember at my sister's birthday party one year, she was like 6 years old. The cake was out. My dog literally ate like half of the chocolate cake in 5 seconds. Mm. And then we had to cancel the birthday party and bring him to the vet.
Mm. That's so scary. Yeah, BB has definitely, like, one time he licked a chocolate bar that someone had dropped on the sidewalk and it was, like, melted. And he lunged at it and I pulled him away. But when he came away, his whole mouth had, like, chocolate on it. And I was, like, I had to rush him home, but he was fine. And then, like, another time, I'm pretty sure he got it, but he, like, just threw up. And
yeah,
that was it. Because I don't think he's ever gotten enough, but he's so small that just, like, a tiny amount could, like,
kill him. I know. Well, what do you guys think? Are grapes bad for your dog or good?
Let us know. I'm so paranoid. I don't even bring grapes in my house because like grapes are constantly falling on the floor.
Yeah.
Like,
and is it supposed to be, are they supposed to be poisonous or is just they're like going to choke on them?
No, it's like they're like allergic to them. Allergic, huh? I had to take a rawhide treat away from him yesterday because I thought he was going to choke on it. He went absolutely insane for this like rawhide bone that had been sitting in his bed for like probably 4 months. And then just all of a sudden he realized it was there and like went insane for
it. He discovered it.
Yeah, he was like growling at everybody. And then he had to go for a walk and he was like trying to swallow it before he had to leave. And it was, he tried to basically kill himself. This is not interesting, but it's interesting because I'm obsessed with my dog.
All right. What was your craziest?
The body of.
Oh, yes.
But I think I tried to put something else just so I wasn't only talking about her. Oh, yeah. It was actually a saddest. It was a $38 Rose and Rex doll and mask set. Did you see this?
That was on the Goop 15. It's, I mean, the most tragic thing I've ever seen in my life.
So sad. It's like these children's dolls have like masks on. It just like, it reminds me of like some like old toy that would have been like a doll you could put in an iron lung or something. Yeah. Like it doesn't feel like, it's like, this is going to be like a relic. It'll be in a museum in 100 years. Like look what the children of 2021 had to play with. It's so sad.
It was so sad. And like, I guess kids are thankful for any sort of stuffed animal or doll, but this, I mean, I don't know. These just look so tragic.
Yeah. Ugh.
But I think some of it was like, it was a charity or something. There's some good cause. So
yeah, there was like a good cause, like $5 went to something. I don't even remember what it was, but probably something good.
Probably like the poor children that are like making these dolls.
I mean, who knows where they're coming from, but I just couldn't. I just was like, wow, this is so depressing.
I know kids are all, there's so like, they're like taking it. I mean, at least externally, like little kids are like taking everything in such stride. Just like, oh, we got to wear a mask. Like not even thinking twice about it.
Well, I mean, they don't like, they have nothing to compare it to.
Yeah, exactly. But still don't give them a fucking doll with a mask.
Yeah.
My craziest was this. Oh, it was the article that was make home an anxiety free sanctuary.
Oh.
Which it's like, first of all, no one's ever going to be completely anxiety free. Unfortunately for all of us, anxiety is part of life. And, you know, there are things we can do to decrease it and cope with it, but we're never going to get rid of it.
No.
And then step 4 on this thing is, starting your evening routine at 5 p.m. Like just end the day at 5 p.m.
I mean, definitely 5 p.m. is when I like transition from like doing stuff to being like, it's party time.
No, totally. Yes, I agree with you 100%. But I think because this was just so sudden that she's literally like taking a bath at 5 p.m.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
And I like, first of all, like who's making dinner here?
Yeah.
Like 5 p.m. is when I transition from whatever I'm doing to I have to start thinking about dinner.
Yeah.
So I feel like she's skipping a couple steps. And then
there's something that's not happening. Maybe she's, yeah.
And then she just says she like dims the lights and like turns the lights off. And then
I think she's got like depression.
Yeah. It just seems like, I'm sorry. Like we all want to get a good sleep, but you can't make your nighttime routine last for like 6 hours. That's crazy.
Now, like it doesn't even get dark until like 8. So like, what is she doing? It's like broad daylight at 5.
It would be so jarring if the person you're living with is like closing all the windows, closing the curtains, like taking a bath, like putting on candles and you're like, this is the middle of the day.
You're like still at work. Yeah. You're like, what are you doing?
Like, get a job.
You crap.
Or make dinner. One of the two.
Oh, my God. Oh, wow. It's like, yeah, it's really, that's like incredibly, incredibly disturbing. I definitely do not support starting your nighttime routine at 5 p.m. I do, however, support starting it at like 7 p.m.
I mean, what is the nighttime routine? If that means I can't like watch a screen or like watch TV, that's a no-go.
I like to like eat dinner, which as I already said, I try to do before 7, sometimes before 8. Basically, as soon as I'm done with dinner, I like to like put on pajamas, do my whole skincare thing, possibly take a bath, and then emerge refreshed and then watch TV or like do whatever until like I go to bed.
Got it. I try to sort of end my TV watching at like 9 if possible.
And so that's then, what I'm doing my prime TV watching.
Because I can't like transition right from watching TV to like going to sleep. So like if I ended at 9, then hopefully I'll take a walk, like my nighttime walk till like 9:30. And then it's like brush my teeth, get into bed. Hopefully if I have the attention span, like read for a half hour. And then like transition again to like my night podcasts and try to fall asleep.
The idea of like leaving my house after like 8 p.m. is like, when you said you go for a walk at 9, I was like, you go out at 9. That's so late. Which is,
I like it. It's like,
I mean, not so long ago, I was leaving my house to go out at like 10 p.m. What is happening?
Well, last night, someone got a hold of some fireworks last night, really close to my house. So that was like a bit much, but usually it's pretty quiet in my neighborhood. And then at 9, I'm such a dork for like smells of like all the different flowers blooming. So I always like to like, I'll pass the jasmine, I'll pass the orange blossoms, I'll pass the roses. And then like the taco truck, and then I'll go back around.
That's nice.
But yeah,
I love it when people set off fireworks like in the street.
I don't mind it usually, except these ones were like, I mean, my house was literally shaking. It was because we have that, there's like this like set design studio thing right behind my house with like a big parking lot. And I think they were right there. And there was like some shrapnel that like landed on my building.
Oh, wow. Really close. Yeah,
it was really close. Crazy.
Yeah. I just, I don't know, like people in my neighborhood, like you never know, like anytime remotely close, like pretty much any holiday, like there's like a week in either direction that you can pretty much guarantee you're going to hear fireworks for something.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then also just like any other random time someone might decide to do it. I never know why or when, just like every once in a while you're like, oh, fireworks. But whenever I hear fireworks, I'm like, yay, someone's celebrating. And like totally. My dog isn't afraid of them, so.
Yeah, my cats have gotten completely used to them now. All right, we've been going on for quite a long time.
Oh no.
What would you try?
Again, the yogurt. I tried to put something else on. Oh yeah, Marie Kondo Fundamentals of Tidying. She has a class that you can take. It's $40 and you get 10 episodes of Marie Kondo teaching you how to tidy.
Didn't she already do that on Netflix for free?
No, it's different.
Oh, it's different.
It's like a class. The Netflix was like a show, like a main version.
Interesting. My mom bought the masterclass thing. And she's doing Joyce Carol Oates is apparently like teaching you how to like write a book, which I'm like, that's going to be
insane. Oh my God, that sounds really good. I want the masterclass, but it's like, it's really expensive.
I know. I'll ask her for her password so we can do it.
I also feel like, I don't know. I just feel like skeptical of the whole thing.
It's very, because she literally texted me and was like, is this a scam? And I was like, it's not a scam, but it's like, you could probably get most of this stuff on YouTube. But I think for older people, it's like geared for older people.
I also think it would be just like enjoyable and fun to watch like celebrities talking about how they do their thing instead of watching some fool on YouTube.
No, totally, totally.
Yeah.
I would just try the vinegars.
Yeah, the vinegars was a nice article. I didn't get too into it, but I appreciated it.
I love a good vinegar. One of Trader Joe's is notoriously bad at their vinegar selection. They always have like apple cider and balsamic.
They have several balsamics.
Yeah, they have too many balsamics. And then I swear to God, you can't even get like a red wine vinegar or something there. It's like crazy.
Yeah.
And I don't eat balsamic vinegar except occasionally like I'll have a balsamic vinaigrette, but I'm not making things with balsamic vinegar. Like I don't get it. I don't get it.
I actually started, I really like now to like make some roasted vegetables and like put a little bit of balsamic vinegar on top when they're done.
Oh, when they're done. Okay. That does sound good.
Pretty good. Just a little.
I have my apple cider. I have a rice vinegar. I have a black vinegar for dumplings, but I feel like I need to get a sherry vinegar. I think that will round out my collection.
Yeah. I love rice vinegar. Mm-hmm. I've been eating cucumbers with rice vinegar and that is a delight.
Yum, yum. All right. What would you buy?
Soup diet.
Oh, your soup diet.
I can't get over it. I'm sorry. I know I'm not talking too much about this woman, but it's like, I literally was shocked. I was shocked.
Like, haven't been affected by this, by a person from Goop for a long time, I feel like.
Because I haven't seen another person. I mean, I've really never seen another person where I was like, I did a double take. I mean, yeah. I just haven't been shocked. Like, she's like a freak of nature. Like, it's crazy. I don't think if I ate the soup that will happen to me. I already look like my grandmother exactly. But like, you know, it couldn't hurt.
Yeah. And so, and these are real, these aren't like powders. Like what's the other Prolon that they do is like just powdered soups. These are probably better quality.
Yeah. But yeah, this is about like nutrition and health and stuff, right?
I guess it's still a 5-day cleanse. So I feel like you're going to feel like cheated at the end of the 5 days. If you're spending $400 on soup.
Yeah, I probably will. But maybe I would like do it, learn everything that it is, and then make my own.
Yeah, because soup, I mean, if you do like live on a soup diet and you're making your own, that's a pretty cheap, like soup goes a long way.
Yeah. I mean, God, I couldn't live on soup alone.
I bet you could find on like Reddit boards or something what the soups are and you could probably make them yourself.
Yeah, I'm going to have to do some investigating for sure.
Did we ever learn what the soup acronym stood for?
I have no idea. I wonder if it's just soup, if she's just faking it.
But there's periods there. Self, union, over the top, party. I don't know.
Self, union, over the top party. I mean, that's what it is.
Exactly. What would I buy? Okay. Megan tries it. A great Megan tries it. She's talking about, first of all, I'm so jealous. She and her husband bought a house with a giant bathtub. Because did you know Megan was 6'1"?
Yeah, I did.
I didn't know that.
She's really tall.
Yeah. She's really tall. Yeah. And like, it makes sense that they need because her husband's 6'3". They wanted a tub and they bought it. Amazing.
Yeah.
But I really want to get this. It's called anointing oil, lavender and sandalwood botanical bathing oil for $60. You slather it all over your body and then you go in the bath and apparently it like cleans. It says it's an oil, so it moisturizes, but it doubles as a body cleanser. So it dissolves dirt, grime and oil on your skin while simultaneously moisturizing it. Strange magic.
Wow. That sounds lovely. God, I would kill. When I get in my bathtub, I feel like that little boy eating spaghetti and gumbo. I feel like that, like, it's like my bathtub is like a sad little like apartment bathtub. And I love taking baths, but I always feel kind of like pathetic in mine.
No, mine too.
I really mean, like disassociate and like get into sort of like a fantasy mode where I'm like kind of pretending I'm somewhere else.
You got to. Cause yeah, mine has, there's like a little, like my tiles are a little grimy. There might be a little mold growing here and there.
It's probably not even safe. Yeah.
I feel like, well, yeah, the little boy from Gummo, but I also feel like one of the like fat twins on the motorcycles in the Guinness Book of World Records when I'm in the bath. Cause I'm just so big and the bath is so little and I'm like, barely in it.
Yeah, it's like I need a bigger bath. Like I need a huge like cloth butt. Like, oh God, no. Like I can't wait. I mean, I'm acting like it's gonna happen, but maybe it will.
I can only fill my bathtub like halfway because the water gets so displaced by my body going into it.
Oh yeah, me too. Sometimes like I fill it up too high and it like literally like overflows when I get in.
But yeah, so this thing,
like, I thought that bathtubs like couldn't do that, but apparently they can.
I know. We live in these like 1920s like hovels that where people were like little, and the bathtubs are not meant for robust like 21st
our big
century
modern
people.
Bodies.
Ugh. Yeah. But yeah, this thing, it's great. It is. Oh, it was invented or made by Tiffany Brown, who is a Black woman living based in Harlem, who's an herbalist and developed her gorgeous line out of a need for formulas that moisturized and calmed her own unsoothable, sensitive skin.
Wow. I'm really intrigued by this.
Lavender and sandalwood is such an interesting combo because it's like the lavender is so energizing and the sandalwood is so soothing. So I feel like it's
I think lavender, I have many like sleep related scent products that are lavender.
Yeah. You're I don't know, for you're right that they're in like, you're right, because you're supposed to like put it under your pillow or whatever. I don't know, I always think of lavender as like energizing, but maybe I'm
I don't think you're off base. I do think that it can be more energizing. It something about the like, it's like floral, but it's like also sort of earthy in a way that it kind of reminds me of like chamomile tea. And I wonder if that's why there's like that association.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Cause it's like, there's like a sharpness and like almost like a little bit of a bitterness in lavender that is different from, you know, your rose, your geranium.
Yeah. But I find that very comforting, which I guess a lot of people do.
Yeah. Yeah. I still have my lavender, body spray mist from Maui from the lavender farm.
Oh, how lovely. I bet that's really nice.
It smells good. It's, you can tell it's a little long in the tooth. I feel like it's turned a little bit, but it still smells good.
I know. I want to find a way to make those Heretic perfumes last longer than 1 second, because it's really hard. As soon as you put it on, it comes right off.
Yeah. I love those Heretic scents, but both the body stuff and the candles are very subtle.
Yeah.
My dirty gingerbread candle, I feel like I have to sort of stand over it and waft up the smell to get what it's given me.
Yeah.
Anyway,
not how you want to experience a candle.
No, you want your sinuses to be completely blown by the garish combination of like marshmallow and like hot cocoa.
You want it like a punch in the face. Okay, I have an update actually. I'm sorry. But as we've been having this conversation, I've been searching for what the soup diet stands for. Superfoods, organic, uniquely desired, prepared with love.
Okay, that's definitely a retconned acronym.
I definitely, definitely agree with you. And also, never mind. I don't want to make, never mind. I've seen some more pictures of.
Interesting. You're turning even before the episode was over.
I'm fully turning. I mean, I know I made that was a really, really good picture.
She's really an old hag.
No. She looks really, really, really good. But I'm like, okay, I see. Like, she looks amazing. Like anybody would want to look like that.
I saw some fine lines there. I don't want to say Vicky Gunvalson, but it's like
she does have that. She on does that spectrum. Have like her vibe does feel slightly like she looks like Dr. Laura Schlesinger or something.
She's very OC, like
very OC vibe.
Very possibly Trump voter.
She's got the look. I mean, who knows? I'm not gonna accuse anyone of that based on their haircut and like.
The shade of blonde.
Yes, it's like it's the exact shade of blonde that that they have.
Yeah, it's a Huntington Beach blonde.
Yeah.
Wow, we spent an hour praising this woman, and then we just tear her down in the last 5 minutes of the podcast.
Yeah, that's how I've lived my life, and it's why like I hate myself. But actually, I don't want to say I'm tearing her down. I got it. I really hope she doesn't listen to this. I hope she doesn't listen to this and is like feeling like amazing. And then she's like, and then at the end, I'm like, actually, fuck her. That would be make me really
sad. That would be so sad. She's like, oh, they read my article. They're so excited about my project in life. My personal story means a lot to them. I'm touching these people. I feel so good about myself right now. And then she keeps listening. And then at the end, she's just curled up in a ball in her bathroom.
Well, I just don't want to give anyone too high praise, especially if they like, you know, especially like, cause you don't know what.
We have no idea what her politics are.
And it's like, is it, are we? Yeah, exactly.
So watch out, anyone.
Yeah, if we don't know your politics, we're going to just tell everybody that, cause that's exactly what kind of assholes we are.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Okay. We have to
end this now. I can't possibly go on. Yeah.
Everybody, thank you so much. We promise this next week for our Patreon fans, we will travel to Santa Monica.
Yeah. Okay. And I am definitely getting the chicken salad. So
yeah, good. Cause I'm getting the Chinese chicken salad and I'm also getting GP's Cobb and a couple other things. And I'll make John share with me.
That sounds good.
All right. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends, blah, blah, blah. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.